Listen to how an economic growth story becomes an environmental and public health story. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The headlines from China today are about the slowest growth there for 14 years. The gross domestic product figures for all of 2013 are in from the statisticians in Beijing, and they were lower than even the forecasters were expecting. Sean Ryan, Managing Director of the China Market Research Group, takes the view that this slowdown may be useful. He joins us from Shanghai. Mr. Ryan, good morning.
Great to be here, David.
What's behind the slower growth that we're seeing here?
So the GDP numbers for China slowed to 7.7% in 2013, but the underlying reasons are healthy. The country can no longer rely on heavy investment and exports for growth. So the government's trying to push more consumption. And in 2013, 13.6% retail sales growth came in and showed that shift is starting to happen.
So we're at a period of transition for the Chinese economy, as you've been explaining to us over the months and we've been reporting. But the question is, can China grow at levels that will continue to create the kind of jobs the country needs?
26 of China's 32 provinces increased the minimum wage this month by 18%. So actually, low-income Chinese are able to find better-paying jobs than ever before. The key issue, David, is that pollution numbers have been out of control. For 18 of the 25 days leading up to Christmas, my son was not allowed to go outside to play at recess because the pollution numbers were 20 times higher on average than what the World Health Organization recommends. So the number that the world needs to look at is not the GDP numbers, but the pollution index in China. So slower growth means healthier growth for the country.
Sean Ryan at China Market Research Group. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
The big three credit ratings agencies, Moody's, S&P, and Fitch, were all criticized for giving inflated ratings to mortgage investments that helped trigger the great financial crisis. Yet these days, they still control 97% of their industry. But as they like to say on Game of Thrones, winter is coming for those companies in the form of new competition, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
After the financial crisis hit in 2008, the world's economy changed. That's how ARC Chief Executive José Esteves likes to begin his pitch.
And we clearly understand that the credit rating industry has to change.
ARC's strategy, which is made up of five credit rating agencies from around the world, is to focus on mid-sized companies in emerging markets. Esteves says the big agencies cater to the world's largest corporations and banks.
We believe we know better the local conditions to judge about the conditions of the risk.
But William Cohan, author of the book Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World, says breaking into this business is a long shot.
While ARC has a chance and there's a real need to try to dislodge these three guys, it's frankly like trying to, you know, dislodge OPEC from the oil market.
Cohan says he doesn't expect much of a shakeup in the U.S. credit rating business unless the federal government demands it. And Cohan says that's a long shot, too. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The financial markets are closed in the U.S. to honor Martin Luther King today. Overseas, they're doing their thing. The FT 100 stock index is up 3 scant points right now. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. The Nikkei in Japan closed down 0.6%. And the key stock index in Hong Kong fell 0.9%. The healthcare landscape, Texas style this morning. One of every three Texans has no medical insurance, the highest rate of uninsured in the country. People in that state have high rates of diabetes and heart disease. Less expensive drugs to treat these conditions are available in Mexico, but the threat of violence in Mexico has triggered a new trend, the smuggling of medicine in bulk. Here's the story from Fronteras desk reporter Lauren Matalon.
Pharmacist Jorge Sandoval opens for business in Chihuahua, Mexico, an hour south of the Texas border. He says people who buy his medicines these days often buy for others.
Es que finalmente es un tráfico y lo que genera mucho es la necesidad de conseguirlo más barato.
Medicines are being bought in quantity here because Americans want cheaper drugs, he says.
Llevan hieleras para venderle a los amigos, a los parientes.
He says people bring in ice chests to fill with medicines that they sell to friends and relatives. For years, Americans have crossed the border for medicines like the blood thinner Coumadin, $60 a month here, $15 there. What's new is a cottage industry of smugglers buying prescription drugs to bring back to the U.S. ER physicians like Juan Nieto say patients are unapologetic about how they get medicine from Mexico.
Some of them say that they have people bring them over for them. Others say that they just buy them here. Medications have made the scene in flea markets.
Branwyn Maxwell Watts avoids flea markets. She buys medicine on her own in Mexico for friends and herself.
Mainly diabetes, a ton of high blood pressure medicine. For me, it's migraine medicine. It's something that I was providing that they needed. I didn't think about the consequences. I still don't, because I still do it.
Back in Mexico, pharmacist Sandoval wonders if there are bigger players in this growing trade. It must be, he says. It's not a small box of pills, he says. It's being done in kilograms, the same way it's done with illegal drugs.
In kilos, o sea, igual.
In August, police seized 25,000 bottles of medicine at a border flea market near McAllen, Texas, an example of why the federal government is tracking the trade of prescription drugs. On the Texas border, I'm Lorne Madelon for Marketplace.
And 50 years ago today, Capitol Records released its first Beatles album, Meet the Beatles. The year before, in 1963, the British label Parlophone EMI kept pitching the Beatles to Capitol in the U.S., but the geniuses at Capitol, in their wisdom, just weren't interested. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.